And we're recording. So today I'm joined by legendary trick shotter, James Jean. James, how about you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm James Jean, and I guess you'd call me a redneck with a bow. I just like to do silly things with a bow out in the field and make videos of it.
Now, you call them silly, but, you know, it's kind of far from that. It's very impressive. You know, you shoot polo mints out of the sky, you shoot an arrow up in the sky, and you shoot the arrow out of the sky. You know, it's unreal. Shooting 4 hours at a time with pop balloons. So obviously that takes like a lot of training. So when you're training to do your trick shots or archery in general, how do you go about it?
I just like to, you know, I'll get bored, and then I have an archery backdrop in the barn, and I have some hay bales and stuff. So I'll just sit there and see what I could do with arrows, and then once I figure out, you know, something, and then I'll try to work a trick shot around it. Like, and then, you know, depending on the shot, you know, I'll try to figure out a way to make it consistent where I could use it, you know, in a live show or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, I just like to, I get bored. The reason I started doing this is because I was really into archery, and I was shooting every day, and I just got so bored of shooting still targets. So I started, you know, playing around using different targets and moving targets, and then it just kind of evolved to what this was. That was back in 2011 when I first started doing these trick shots.
Yeah, and obviously I would think at least it would take a lot of creativity, because I mean, how many times can you shoot your own arrow out of the air? But like, you always have new stuff.
Oh yeah, you got to keep it fresh. I just like to I like to shoot in different ways or have a different way to approach something. I'm always playing around with stuff like that just because I feel like, you know, when making videos, like, people don't want to see the same stuff over and over.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, it's like some of the ways, like, you draw the bow back, like, behind your head or just at your chest, you know, because I actually do archery, and, it, you know, it's hard enough to shoot at an anchor point, never mind, you know, behind the head. Like, it's very impressive to see, because I kind of can figure out what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of the things like the clay pigeon shooting behind the head, that, like, what are you using as your point of reference, or are you just kind of like instinctually letting it go?
So I shoot instinctive, but I try to, you know, I approach it just like if I was shooting regular. Like, I'll try to make an anchor point wherever, like behind the head. I'll try to rest my shooting hand, like where my knuckles are at my ear, my wrist is at my neck. Try to do that every time.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, as far as, you just try to make it as consistent as possible. You know, same thing with behind the back. I'll try to rest it right on my belt loop or something like that.
Mm.
Or just, you know, with anything, I just try to make it as consistent as possible. Archery is all about consistency, and, you know,
yeah,
try to make it as consistent as possible.
Yeah. And have you always used the same bow while doing this?
I'm not the person that gets bows all the time. I like to just have a bow and just stick with it.
Yeah.
And for like 7 years, I was using a Hoyt Game Master 2. And I recently just switched to the Satori. And then I've been shooting that, and I'm loving that bow. It's really
sweet.
Nice.
Are you shooting off the shelf?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shooting just, yeah, off the shelf. I got a little bit of a female Velcro on the top, and that's what I shoot off of.
So, with some of those shots where you're shooting an arrow up in the air, and then you shoot another arrow up, and you break it mid-flight, do you ever get worried that you're going to shoot, like, way too far to find the arrow, or you could hit someone really far away? Because like, I'm not sure how powerful your bow is, but, like, you know, when you're going at a shot that's, like, 45 degrees up in the air or more, it's going to go a long way.
Oh, yeah. I use Flu-Flu arrows, which they'll go at the max, maybe 120 yards. It just depends on the degree, but most of the time it goes about 80 to 100. I use that when I'm shooting aerials, and I like to shoot up in the 45 degree because I'm shooting in an open field. And what it does when I shoot at that degree, it kind of goes, arcs, and then sticks straight in the ground where I can just go and easily pick it up. At a lower angle, it'll get buried under the grass, and it'll be hard to find.
Mm. Yeah, if anyone listening's ever done cloud shooting, it would be kind of like, with skills like that, I'd have to wonder, do you hunt? And I'd say you're a very successful one.
Yep, I do. My main, like, what I do for a living is I produce outdoor shows. And I do a lot of hunting, but I don't get to necessarily do a lot of shooting. I'm usually behind the camera trying to film, and I go from time to time, but I've been doing that all my life. That's the reason I got into outdoor videography, and that's the reason I'm in the archery now.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about the shows. Like, that's obviously impressive.
Yeah, it's a, I started making YouTube videos back in 2010, I think. And then I decided, you know, I kind of wanted to pursue this. So I went to just a small camera school, and it's called Camel Cameras. And then after that, I hooked up with a guy in Africa and went to Zimbabwe for 6 months and filmed big game hunts and everything. And once I got back there, I got a job with a show called Trophy Quest for a few years. And then now I just do freelance work for several different TV shows. Yeah. And it's really neat. As a hunter, you get to learn a lot by watching other people hunt. Usually when you hunt, it's by yourself. And whenever you're watching somebody, you kind of see what they do good and what they do bad, and you take a little bit from it. So I learned a lot just by filming the hunts and editing the shows. And it's a lot of work, but it's really fun.
Yeah. That's impressive, man. But just going back to the big game hunts in Africa, I feel like some people get kind of a skewed idea of what actually goes on there. So from what I've seen, it's people going out and they shoot like senile animals, like let's say like a giraffe that isn't fertile, and it's just using up the resources of the environment. Is that kind of what's going on there, or are they just kind of shooting anything?
It's hard to explain without basically, you know, what the goal is whenever you go down there to shoot, you know, the mature, probably a bull or, you know, a male, and past its breeding prime, just that's when you get the bigger animals. And it's awesome over there because it's once nothing goes to waste. They, like, we eat everything. I mean, we eat just about everything in the meals, and then everybody else, like, we'll give it back to the village and everything, and they'll eat as well. And it's kind of a balance type of deal. Basically, you know, the older bulls, they'll try to kill the younger bulls, the ones that could breed. And it's just it's hard to explain. It's like you kind of got to be there to see it. It's a wonderful thing. And for there, you drive around, you don't see any game unless you go into these kind of hunting places. They're the only ones that really keep game around. A lot of times when you travel through the towns, you won't even see a rabbit around. And without safari hunting over there, I don't think there would be the amount of animals that there is today without it.
I think people get the wrong idea about big game hunting. It's actually for conservation of the environment.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that, you know, you're shooting animals to save animals. Kind of doesn't make sense.
It's definitely weird.
But you pay for permits, and I forgot what the unemployment rate in Zimbabwe was. It's in the 90s, and they're providing jobs. There's tons of people that work behind the scenes, cooking, keeping the they got anti-poaching where they, you know, there's people that patrol the areas, making sure there's making sure there's still game around, keeping people from protecting the game. And then, you know, and then all the money goes into, keeping animals around and keeping it around for a long time.
Yeah, because, you know, we're definitely seeing a drop in those numbers thanks to overhunting and poaching. But I think people need to kind of separate the two. One's actually beneficial, one is detrimental. But it's cool you got to experience it firsthand and see what's going on there.
Yeah, it's definitely quite an experience. I'd love to get back. and see it again. I've been there a few times, but I'd love to stay over there another 6 months. And
yeah,
it's just you know, if I was single, I'd probably just go live down there.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. You gotta convince the missus. You know how it goes. So obviously, I know you from your Instagram page, but you post on all sorts of other things. Now you're very active on that. You post, I think, nearly every day or every day.
Two to three times a week, and then sometimes on stories and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, there's never a lack of creativity. It's always just, you know, unrealistically good shots. But do you have to like reshoot them a couple of times? Like, come on, you have to have missed it at least once.
Let me ask you this. Does Olympic Archer hit the X every time?
No, sir.
How do you expect me to hit every shot every time?
Yeah.
It's just but as the years gone by, I've became more consistent at this stuff. And there's, you know, there's some shots that take a lot of tries, especially the new ones that I've never done before. And there's some that I have pretty consistent where I can use it in the live shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough. It's a process. I mean, the way I do it, you know, I mean, I've done hundreds of different shots, so it's hard to get them all consistent. And I love the part, like I grew up skateboarding and I love, you know, I learn new tricks and there's a process to it. And there's a lot of, you know, it cuts out the quitters basically, because it takes a lot of work to learn these things. And it's just, I love the process trying to, you know, trial and error, trying to figure it out. There's, you know, different, and then as you're shooting, you figure out different tips. But basically, I do like a, you know, I usually do 20 shots and then just move on to the next. If you don't get it, try it again. I have good and bad days. There's some stuff I get first try. There's some stuff I can get pretty consistent, and there's some stuff that's just lucky.
Yeah. Well, we all really love the lucky ones. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to assume you get a bit of criticism sometimes, like people saying you're faking it. Do you ever get that?
Oh yeah. With any type of attention, you'll get, you know, criticism, and it's just a part of it. I try not to let it get me down. But
yeah,
it's just it's not really, you know, I'm just out there having fun and I'm just posting my experiences online.
Yeah. But, you know, like I've seen it firsthand, like some of the criticism, it's not very fair. But with unbelievable shots, just people who won't be able to believe it, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's impressive stuff. But yeah, it's awesome stuff. And then the arrows you shoot, you said they're flu-flu, but what brand?
Most of the time I'll get these gold-tipped warrior shafts, and I'll fletch them with a full-length feather to make a spiral-wrap flu-flu, and then, you know, I'll use spiral wrap most of the time for aerial shots. I'll use, you know, the regular three-fledged arrows with regular feathers for, you know, the ramps and the curving shots. And then I'll just play around. Like, I'll do, like, middle-fledged arrows, make it curve more. Or I'll play around and make an arrow that you could shoot up and overturn to you. And sometimes I'll just get bored on rainy days and start fletching up. It's like, hey, what can I do with this? And then I'll go out there and shoot and see what happens. And then if it does something cool, which most of the time it doesn't, I'll try to make a trick shot out of it, but I just like tinkering with stuff.
That's what's one thing I love about setting up your arrows. You can kind of get all experimental. I shoot XS wings. They're very brittle, but they're very good kind of adjusting to your mistakes, you know? Like, they spin, so they stabilize midair, so it's more forgiving. What kind of experiments have you done in terms of your fletching or how you've done your arrows?
I'll just try to figure out, like, all right, what happens if I fletch it up front? What happens if I fletch it in the middle or in the back? Or, you know, I'll use a few feathers over here. Most of the time I don't do anything, and then every now and then I'll get something that works or something, it does something different. I try to stay like I think the ones I used to use the most is like a middle fledged arrow, which it'd make it curve at a shorter distance. And I came up with that because I was doing a I was doing a talent show type deal in Hollywood.
And, I assume you won.
And it was a short stage. I forgot they wanted me to shoot in like 20 feet. And I was like, I can't curve it. And so I had to like kind of figure out a shot to make it curve. But it makes it kind of less accurate that way with the middle fletch. So I just try to typically go with the regular fletched arrows. There's a reason people shoot them.
So, yeah, there is. But that's a cute dog. but yeah, they work for one kind of thing, you know. But you know what you're doing isn't kind of the standard.
Yeah.
You don't need me to tell you that. but yeah, have you ever tried it with different bows? Like, would you ever try like a traditional longbow, or you ever try a compound with one of these shots?
Yeah. I've done shots with, I shot clays with the compound and longbow. I'm used to the recurve. I've shot, you know, horse bows as well. I think if I do get another bow, it'd probably be like a Olympic style recurve, like more of a longer riser. I think it would help me more with the multiple arrows. Like, I think the most I can do consistently is five arrows, five balloons. But I think with the longer riser, I could fit more arrows on there and try to, you know, kind of push the limits on that. But that's the only thing. Like, I use three bows. I got three Hortsatoris, and I got one left-handed and two right-handed. And I use the left-handed for speed shooting, and just because it's quicker to load, and you don't have to, you know, go through the strain. You can just kind of slap it on one side and keep shooting.
Yeah. I suppose you're kind of like your man. What was his name? Lars Anderson. You're a bit like him in a sense, except redneck. Yeah, actually, where are you from, by the way? What state?
I'm from Carrollton, Georgia. It's between, like, right on the Alabama line, just southeast U.S.
I'd be lying if I said I knew where it was. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Other side of the world and all that. What was I going to say? But you told me earlier you've done a bit of work on TV with what you do. What's that been like?
It's quite a different experience. It's just, you know, kind of a little side job I do is I'll go on these TV shows and I'll do trick shots for them. And it's very different. There's one that's called Shooting USA. And it's the main reason I got into trick shots, because I grew up watching this guy named Byron Ferguson. And he's like a legendary trick shooter. He's probably in his 70s now. And he still does live shows from here to there. And then I met up with them, and I got asked to be on that show. So I do a few episodes with them, and that's just been kind of a little dream of mine to be on that show. And then I done, like, you know, I'll get featured on shows sometimes, and then I've done a talent show, and it's pretty funny because it was a Spanish talent show, and they had to translate everything in Spanish and had to repeat after them. And it's just it's really different. As far as the live shows, it's like, don't believe what you see on TV. It's there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes, and it's kind of, I don't know if I can go into detail about that, but it's really weird. It's not as fun as it sounds like.
I'm going to assume on set, like, it would be here. I did a lot of safety precautions. Like, I recently did something where all we had to do was, like, pretend we're shooting a longbow. And, you know, even at that, which is kind of silly, the safety precautions were kind of ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You had to get a fire marshal and everything. And there's so many times you get on set and then they want you to do something, then that's what you practice for. You've been practicing for weeks for that certain shot, and then you get there, and then, okay, we can't do that. We got to switch it up. We got to change it. And it's kind of a headache.
Yeah. And that's kind of rough when, you know, you're practicing the same shot. You're like, oh, I just do this one, though. It doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't really get it. They're just like, they don't want you to, like, I'll be like, all right, I got to, you know, I'm better if I warm up a little bit, you know, let me shoot. And sometimes they won't let me shoot. And they're, you know, they'll just get on, they'll turn on the cameras. It's like, okay, hit the target. It's funny.
You know, it's kind of funny, like, when people who don't do archery, expect you to do something as an archer. Mm-hmm. especially in your circumstances. Like you were saying earlier, you have to sometimes you have to practice it 20 times. If it doesn't work, you just give up, move on. I say that's kind of rough on set, where they're like, okay, do it now, James. Okay, let's try again.
Yeah.
No, I show you know every time, but like in the hypothetical. No.
Yeah, it's just I have good and bad days, so a lot of times I'll stop at the 20 tries and I'll try it again later down the road, and then sometimes there's been so many shots that I tried, like I couldn't get it in that 20 tries, and I'll come back and I'll get it first or second try. And it's just like, I don't know, just luck. And then I'll just think about it overnight and like, oh, I should have done this instead. And then like I done 2 years ago, I done a 5-balloon shot where I shot 5 arrows and hit 5 balloons. And then I recently got asked to be on a show and they wanted to see that. And I was like, I haven't done that in 2 years and I don't even think I can get it consistent. And it was kind of staggered how the balloons were. And I was like, I got to have it portable. So I got to figure out how to shoot the balloons up and down. And then it took me about 2 hours to figure out how to get it almost every try, at least within two to three tries. And it's kind of, yeah. And then I've done the TV show, everything. And then I came back and I was like, all right, I'm going to film it for, you know, Instagram, whatever. And I done that one first try, but I wanted to do behind the headshot. And I tried it 5 times and I gave up because it was time to go to work. And now it's like kind of, I was hitting like 4 balloons or 3 balloons out of the 5. And I was like, what's going on? That night I kind of went back and looked at the footage. It's like, okay, this is what I did wrong. Came back the next day, set up everything, got it first try. It was just stuff nice. Like that. Sometimes it's the best just to sit back and kind of think and review everything. And, anybody that's shooting, I'd really advise to like film yourself shoot, you know, not just the target, just film your shooting, like even your anchor points and all that stuff, you know. Just say, you know, you shoot, you'd be like, all right, that's a good shot. And then you shoot, and it's like, okay, that's a bad shot. You go back and look at the footage, you're just like, okay, I had my hand a little bit lower, a little bit higher here. This is what worked in this shot, kind of like that. And I do a lot of filming like that just to kind of help myself improve and give me little points or, you know, any type. I don't know. Just helps me, I think, by reviewing footage and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I'd say having the old YouTube channel helps that as well. You've nearly 10,000 subscribers. So that's really impressive. And it looks like you post pretty often. You've done some tutorials on how to shoot different ways and intro to it, instinctive and so on. You know, what made you want to do archery on a YouTube channel? Because I've seen a lot of people do it, and I've only seen about one guy do it successfully, like your man, New Sensei.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I watched his videos before. Yeah, it's just I just wanted to try it out and see. I mean, the videos seem to get pretty popular on other platforms. Like Facebook's got my biggest following, and I wanted to go into YouTube just because with Facebook and Instagram, people's attention span is pretty short. They don't want to watch really a long video on there. With YouTube, you could kind of sit back and kind of show the process of it and kind of explain what you're doing, and you have more freedom to do something, and people, you know, want to watch it. But I've been doing YouTube since 2011, and I kind of stopped because I was filming for a show, and I was also doing the trick shots on the show. And until that was over with, I decided to get back into it, and it's something I really want to pursue. I've hooked up with a guy. His name's Zach Fowler. He has a YouTube channel with like 800,000 subscribers, and we're gonna team up, and we're gonna try to make it work. Eventually, like hopefully, I'll be doing YouTube full time soon.
Yeah.
And there's a few other guys I want to hook up with. Go ahead.
Yeah, just with YouTube, I don't think people realize how difficult it is to live off it and so on. Mm-hmm. What is it? You need like 1 million subscribers, and you need to be getting like millions of views to get the average industrial American wage. So like when you're there with your 10K subscribers one day, and it looks like your videos average about 500 views, 600 views per video, Actually, yeah. Some have a couple of thousand. So, don't think people realize how difficult it is to actually make money off it. Like, you're getting a fraction of a cent per video, or per ad someone watches.
Yeah, it's tough. It's weird. It's based on your CPM. I forgot what that means. But you get, I don't know how they decide how much money you get per video. Like one video, I'll make like 25 cents or something per click through rate or something. Another video, I'll get like $1.50, and it doesn't do anything. Like, I'll get like a couple hundred bucks a month, for some of the videos. There's some videos that are pretty popular. But YouTube does do better than Facebook. I used to do Facebook videos, and some reason that I got demonetized because my content's unoriginal, they said.
I'd argue that one.
I don't know. I try to appeal it, but like, I think I got like 30,000 followers or something like there. And there's a point where I was getting, I think, 10 million views a month, and it's like, you'll get about seven, eight grand a month, and just off of ads, and that only lasted for a couple months, and
yeah,
I got demonetized. But that if that would have happened, I would have done that full time. But it's just but it's just fun, you know. I enjoy putting out content, and then I got a bunch of videos on the standby right now. I just got to go through and edit it and put it together, but I got tons on the way. But we'll see what happens. But hopefully, that's something I kind of want to do in the future. It's kind of a long-term goal, not a real short-term. But hopefully, in a couple of years, it'll get to that point.
Yeah, and have you been experiencing like rapid YouTube channel? Like, how's your growth rate? Are you getting like, you got like a 1,000 the last month? You got 500?
I haven't really paid attention to it. It just depends. It comes in waves. Like, usually when a video takes off on Instagram or Facebook, it'll usually drive traffic to the YouTube channel. It just depends. It's hard to grow on any platform right now, except like TikTok. And
have you tried that yet?
I've done a little bit. It's pretty cringy to watch it, but it's getting a little bit better. People are putting out more original content, but it's like, at first is, I couldn't watch it. It's awful. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's something to do right now. Nobody really takes it seriously as far as advertisers and stuff like that. But it's fun to do, I guess. It's kind of cool putting music with your videos. But now Instagram got reels, and you can kind of do the same. But I just hate how the reels don't allow you to have original audio with the music. It's like just music only for some reason.
Yeah. Like, I was very confused because I seen one of your ones recently, and I think you said what you normally say at the end of every video. That's how it's done, and obviously that already didn't come true. So just you like mouthing the words.
I didn't expect to use it in the reel. It's funny. That's kind of that's how you do it. Was kind of a sarcastic joke with I've done it like I'm socially awkward. So we filmed a trick shot video back in, 2011, and then I was like, I done the shot, I didn't know what to do, and I just kind of sat there. I said, that's how you do it, and then just walked away, and then all my friends kind of gave me hell about it, and we just started saying that all the time. So that's what I started saying that, and then now it's kind of like, I'm kind of sick and tired of saying it, but at the same time, people get on to me when I don't say it, and people get on to me when I do say it also. It's like, I'm not really trying to be cocky or nothing, it's just, I don't know, it's just something I've been... It's like my catchphrase now, I guess.
Yeah, what was that noise a second ago?
That was my... I got an Australian Shepherd puppy, and he's just... He's awful right now. He's a little puppy. He's chewing up everything, but he's got a little squeak toy, which I need to get away from him.
Yeah, anyone on the audio version would be very confused right now. On the video version... I think they're having a laugh now, seeing a cute little dog in the background. Yeah,
he's funny. He's only, I think he's 2 months old, but he's getting big now. But He just chews up everything right now. I've been trying to train him, but he doesn't listen much right now. He's still a little puppy.
Yeah, but he's doing any trick shots. No.
I gotta teach him how to retrieve arrows.
There you go. Actually, I know people who've done that with their dogs before. Like, they retrieve wooden arrows, but I wouldn't be too sure of that because, you know, you have, like, they're so spongy. You just have the imprint of the teeth. Yeah, and if you stop them, you'd be even worse. Yeah, but, yeah, go on, sorry.
No, so I had one in Africa that, whenever I was in Africa, they had a little fox terrier, and he'd retrieve my arrows, but I have to get it as soon as he brings it back, or he's just going to chew them up. That was the only problem.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But yeah, just going back to YouTube and so on. Like, what are your plans with it in the future? Are you gonna do only archery videos and keep it at that, or have you any plans to branch out?
It just kind of whatever. I don't know. Whatever I feel like doing. If I eventually get tired of making trick shot videos, then I'll maybe branch out, but. It seems like, you know, I tried different videos, and it seems like the archery trick shot seems to catch more traction, and it's easier for me to make. It's one thing to make a hunting video. You got to wait weeks and, you know, so on if you're successful or something like that. And a trick shot video, I can go out and for an hour and shoot, you know, do 20 or 30 shots, and there's a video. You know, it's a... I might branch out. I want to try to do some more how-to, but I'm not a super expert, so I'll just try to... I want to do more how-tos on trick shots, or know what to do, how to do this, or, like, some of the easy ones, or where I didn't really find any help whenever I was doing it. And, you know, now I can make the information more available where people could, you know, they could take all the hard work out and kind of, you know, have a good starting point to do some of these things. And, it's just, you know, I it just depends on where it goes. And, you know, I'm always testing stuff. It's like social media, it's hard to go viral now without, you know, kind of playing the game. To be good in social media, you got to, like, figure it. You got to be on top of everything with the algorithms and all that stuff. It's a full-time job trying to figure that out. And it's a headache.
It's also one of the least rewarding. one of the least rewarding jobs you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. Unless you're, like, way up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much, like, it's hard to grow on a platform unless it just, like, first starts out. That's when you need to... It might sound lame, but that's when you get on the app, right when it first starts out, that's when it starts to grow. But now it's, like, it's almost impossible to grow on Instagram or... stuff like that, unless somebody reposts your things. It's, like, hard to grow. Like, the only time, like, I'll be on a little lull and I'll be stuck, and then somebody shares my stuff, and that's when it starts popping. But it's hard to just grow, just posting stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I guess you gotta sit there and figure it out. And that's the thing, too. You gotta make it, you know, make everything visually pleasing. That's why, like, I'm gonna make a video on the YouTube. Because I just did my hardest shot I ever done, and that was a no-look arrow break. And I want to film the whole process and kind of tell my whole story with that. And it took... is obviously a lucky shot. It took close to an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours to do. But I done it just to get it on footage. I've done it successfully 8 times before I got the perfect shot on footage. And then I hit it, I mean, several times. There was one time I hit 5 in a row, like, without breaking. And, I figured out kind of the secret kind of to do it. But it's just like just to get that perfect shot, it took, you know, that long. It only took me about 10, 15 minutes to get it first try. But it's like it took me forever to get it, you know, perfect on the camera right and everything.
You know what? You sound like a very patient guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need patience for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Especially where a lot of it is...
the quitters.
Yeah, like you say. it just seems like it's a lot of work, and then you have the chance of reward, but you do chase it. I mean, power to you. I'm loving the stuff. I'm watching it. I introduced it to some of my friends who've been sharing it around, saying it's great. So, yeah. I guess that's kind of it, man, unless you got something you want to talk about. I guess we're finished.
No, I just want to thank you for having me on there. If anybody's got any more questions, feel free to DM me. I'll try my best, but sometimes they'll get lost. And, but, you know, I'm on, you could try Instagram. I'm on there most of the time. Facebook also sometimes. But, yeah, and then I'll have more how-to videos and more videos in the future. And, you know, if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask. And yeah. I'll try to point you in the right direction. If I don't know it, then I'll try to point you to somebody that does know it. And just stuff like that.
Could you just remind us all what the names are for your social medias? Like your YouTube and your Instagram?
Everything is James Jean, J-E-A-N, like blue jeans, Trick Shots. And that's on all, that's where I'm at. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I'm barely on there, but TikTok and YouTube and all that stuff. But
so yeah. Look, if you've gotten this far, make sure to like, comment, subscribe. Make sure to check out Gene and take it handy.